participate in further legal proceedings. Several other plaintiffs remain, however. The museum announced the sale of 40 works to boost its endowment and fund a pivot away from art and towards science and natural history. Keith Peters reporting.
Another happy story about a cruise. Passengers on a Carnival South Pacific cruise say the trip is interrupted repeatedly by brawls apparently caused by a 23-member family who went on some kind of a rampage. Folks had to lock themselves in their cabins. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of bells. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul. In your soul. In your soul. The loggers and the cowboys, double cross, foul sack and sit-up. They cursed rough roads, hauling their load, but they did their best to deliver them. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load.
All right, we're back at it, Jefferson. I want to welcome everybody to our Sunday morning show, and we're in a little bit of a recovery mode here. We from the north to the south, I know Tuolumne, they're probably doing the same thing today, trying to recover from their last night's event. Terry and I are here recovering from last night's event here in Shasta County. So we had a great silent auction, dinner auction. We had a lot of wonderful people there last night, and it was really fun. What do you think of it, Terry?
Well, everybody told me I had a good time.
Yeah, I heard you.
Anyway, we're here with Wynn Carpenter. I'm Terry Raposa, and Jared, our trusted producer. Say hello there, buddy.
Good morning.
All right, we're up and running.
Yeah, Jared's here. He's the only one in this room with brown hair.
Yeah, the rest of us are gray. Go in there.
Anyway, last night was a lot of fun, and we're looking forward to seeing what the results were. Is there any early results that you have, Wynn, on how much we raised? And, did Chris do a great job or what? Oh, my gosh.
Heading up that whole program.
Chris Kellstrom.
He did a stellar job on getting that done for us.
Absolutely incredible.
He's the man.
He is. And, Chris, if you're out there, buddy, thank you so much. I mean, that's the beauty of this whole thing. You have people that will step up and do a job. And, Chris was an example to everybody. And, of course, Patrick Jones he's the quintessential pro on this whole thing. He's the guy that gets all this going. So thank you, Patrick. Thank you very much, Chris and Margie and Joetta and Linda B. And
everybody
all you
that
guys.
Was involved.
Just great.
There were so
great.
Many people there, so many hands making light
oh,
work.
Oh, man, it was
awesome.
Great.
And all the donations and contributions that people put forth, you know, for everything to raise the funds that we had at our event last night, it was awesome.
Any word on any idea of how we did on the money or anything?
Yes.
Yet? Oh, good. Okay. Well, drum roll?
No.
Okay.
I'll tell everybody tomorrow night at the meeting. If you really want to know.
Bribery. Yeah.
Get your butt in a seat at our meeting.
Yeah, tomorrow night at 3276 Pacelli Lane, starting at 5:30, as always, at the Eagle's Nest Church, we'll have the Jefferson meeting. Then at 6 o'clock, we have Travis Allen, who is running for governor on the Republican side. He's running, and we're excited about having him there. We expect to have a full house, and we've said that before, but this time we really mean it.
Yes.
This will be on a first-come, first-serve basis. The plan is that Travis will be speaking for approximately 8 minutes, as his beginning position. you know, what he's done, how he's gotten to where he is, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then it'll all be Q&A, folks. This is up to you to come in and ask the candidate, the leading candidate at this point for the Republican Party for governor of the state of California, your questions. And we'll get more into that. But right now we have Dave Tichenel on the phone. Dave, buddy, how you doing?
General Stonewall here. How you guys doing?
Stonewall! Hey, did Mad Dog make it last night?
Pardon?
Did Mad Dog make it last night? Mad Dog Whitehead?
Meaning McClintock?
No. Who's Mad Dog, Dog Whitehead out of Calaveras.
Oh, yeah, he was there.
Oh, oh man. Yeah. Tell Mad Dog that we love him and miss him. I got to give him a call today. I haven't heard from him for a while. And so he was there, moving and shaking.
Oh,
huh?
Yeah. We had everybody was there. Calaveras and Tuolumne County represented almost equally. Calaveras probably had more people there than Tuolumne County did, though. I mean, they all came across the river. We had people come down from Amador, which was great because I need to get them reinvigorated about getting their committee going again. And we can't have this big gap in between the north and the south.
Yeah, no donut holes.
But we had a really good fundraiser. I mean, it was great. Do you want me just to launch into the...
Well, yeah, and we're going to have also when Mark Baird is going to call in here in a little bit. When he does, what I'd like you to do is we want to go to him because he's kind of limited on time, but I want you to please, please, please call back. Is that going to be possible?
Of course.
Outstanding. Okay.
It's a recovery day like you. Except I'm still in my sweatpants. You guys have to go into the studio.
So are we. No, just kidding. We're a loose group here, you know. We come in pajamas.
Yeah,
you know?
We dress for radio.
Yeah, we did.
We dress for radio because we have faces for radio.
Yeah, I'm in my normal blue jean attire.
There we go, ditto.
So anyway,
so how did you guys do down there?
Yeah.
Did we outdo you up here? We'll find out, won't we?
Well, if you're not going to spill your numbers, I don't know if I want to spill mine. let me tell you a little bit about what happened down
there.
We opened the doors at 3. We were at the Elks Lodge. They can barely handle about 350 people with tables and chairs. We had to rob chairs out of the bar and stuff like that. So we ended up setting up for 370, and then we added 40 volunteers onto that. We fed over 400 people last night.
Wow.
We put on a spaghetti dinner. That was Aaron Nazareau was our main chef. He did a wonderful job. I mean, that guy worked his butt off, and so did his crew. We ended up getting 40 pounds of turkey sausage donated from Diesel Turkey, which is a pretty good-sized turkey outfit down there. They sell to high-end, like Whole Foods and things like that. And then we also topped it off with a bunch of really good meatballs from another supplier. And the turkey dinner was a hit. And then we decided that we would ask our volunteers to do the dessert. So we had quite the dessert table set up. I mean, there was cakes and pies and diabetic cakes. I mean, there was everything there. So everybody really enjoyed being able to gorge themselves on that. As people came in, we took their dinner tickets. We had another spot that they would move to where they would write letters for the call of action. So we have dozens and dozens of letters to bring on the 28th, and that was really good. We gave them a pen and a piece of paper and an example of things to write, and they took the time to do that. And then the very next station that they went to, I had a computer set up so that they could sign the online petition, and they were doing that as well. So we took full advantage of everybody that came in and got their email addresses and everything else. And then we sat down and started serving people about 4:45. And we're ready for our first speaker at about 6:15. And we had, of course, everybody knows that Congressman McClintock was there, came with his lovely wife, Lori, and he really seemed to genuinely have a great time. He got up and spoke for half an hour, and he went way beyond what I expected him to say about Jefferson. He talked the full time about the importance of Jefferson in the overall freedom picture for the United States, and kept coming back to the fact that it's people like the supporters of the state of Jefferson are the only thing that's putting up a barrier or a bulwark, as he put it, between becoming a socialist country and remaining free. It was such an impressive speech. There was probably a full minute and a half standing ovation afterwards, and you know, I've never heard McClintock really really embrace us the way he did last night. So something has gotten through to him. And I, when I got home, I emailed his handler, John Hoy, and asked him for a transcript of the speech so that we can send that to the papers, send it, put it on our messenger, and get that word out to everybody. So that was really good.
Hey, Dave.
We immediately followed him by me. I got up and made a short speech for my campaign and called out, not by name and not particularly, but, you know, by inference, the lack of leadership that we've had on Jefferson being supported by our government and the sanctuary state thing. And I got to, you know, just talk about who I am and what I plan to do when I become supervisor. Then I had a family, the Horat, H-O-R-A-T, who spent 10 years in Venezuela and got out of there just a couple of years ago. And Maria Horvat recounted in a speech of about 20 minutes what happened to her country from being one of the most prosperous, oil-rich countries in the world to becoming, and I'll temper this from what Trump calls it, but a crap hole that is just unbelievably in poverty now. And she just recounted how that happened and how the people of Venezuela just let the socialists come in and let it, you know, incrementally over 10 years happen. And, you know, how they're living in such a state now, it's unbelievable. And she was very well received. It was, you couldn't have heard a pin drop in the room the whole time she was talking about that. And then that set it up for Jeremy Talcott, who came and visited us from Pacific Legal Foundation. And Jeremy was originally going to start talking about all of the big wins that the Pacific Legal Foundation has made at Supreme Court level and state Supreme Court level. But he decided to talk about the losses that they've incurred. And what he recounted was a story about how to what lengths and what breadth and width our government will go to take away our property rights in different instances, whether it was a coastal commission taking people's rights away to have their homes on bluffs, and to people in the Midwest who suffered all kinds of problems for prairie dogs, which aren't an endangered species. And he recounted how they, you know, Congress has to have a power, and so they use the commerce power to try to stop these people from being able to develop land where prairie dogs were. And as he said, you know, prairie dogs don't move from state to state. Nobody traffics in prairie dog pelts, or they don't sell prairie dog meat. So there's no interstate commerce having to do with prairie dogs. So really interesting how he outlined, you know, how they brought these cases and how much pressure the country was able to bring to take people's rights away. And so that was very eye-opening as well. So after that, you know, we had done our raffles and everything. So it was a really good, entertaining program and a good evening. As far as the money, I think we're probably close to what we did last year. We have no real total yet. I know that raffles, auctions, drawings probably brought in about $8,500. Dinner tickets was about $12,000. We did probably $25,000 to $3,000 in merchandise sales. Expenses were pretty low. Dinner only cost us $1,700. All the other expenses, wristbands, printing, advertising, maybe $200, $250. We had to buy one motel room, a little bit of travel. And so I think our net's going to be somewhere between $20,000 and $22,000. So really, really close to what we did last year.
Well, that's good. That's awesome.
Yeah, I have a question about McClintock. And I think that when you mentioned him, I know, well, it is, isn't he up for re-election? Just saying.
Oh, yeah.
So, that's, you know, that's when you see him. They all come out of the woodwork.
Yeah, we had our Congressman, Doug LaMalfa, sent one of his staffers, and she came with a friend, two very nice ladies, and he donated a flag that had flown over the Capitol of the United States.
On October 16th.
On October 16th.
Yep.
Yeah. And so he donated that. You know, I think the thing is that we have to start understanding that the people who we put in office, holding their feet to the fire is very important. If we let them sort of skate around an issue, it sounds to me like Congressman McClintock was being a little more forthright. But, you know, the real deal is that, you know, we need to get this state done. We need to have a situation where we have representation We need to have a situation where we have representation in many states, not just California. But with that, Dave, if you want to stay with us through the break here, we're going to go off to our first break. And so, when I think time has come.
Or 51.
Hi.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
Black Bear Diner was started by a couple of hungry guys with a big dream. That dream? Good old-fashioned family food with great service. Like the classic Volcano Breakfast. Secret recipe sweet cream pancakes, hickory smoked bacon, sausage, and fresh cracked eggs. Mmm. Served day or night at over 100 Black Bear Diner locations. Feeding all you hungry bears out there makes us so proud.
Here's your breakfast for dinner. No more coffee?
Thanks, Rosie. I'm sorry. Pancakes at sunset make me a little emotional.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
I think one great benefit to having a Turtle Bay membership, I love that it's one place we can go to and bring our family, and there's something for everybody. There's activities for our one-year-old to do, and there's also exhibits and things for our six-year-old to do, and it's just a good variety of things for all ages.
We're members of Turtle Bay because I think education is really important, and I think kids need to learn that they can learn out of the classroom and learn in real life, and I think Turtle Bay brings that experience to them as they can see things that they see out and about outside of school and learn something.
Well, we're moving on up to the east side. To the sea left upon the sky. Moving on up to the east side. We finally got a piece of the pie. Beans don't fry in the kitchen. Beans don't burn on the grill. Took a whole lot of trying. Or just to get up that hill. Now we're up in the big league. It's our turn at bat. As long as we live, it's you and me, baby. There ain't nothing wrong with that.
All right. We're moving on up.
Moving on up.
You bet. So, yeah, we had a pretty exciting night last night in Tuolumne and a pretty exciting night last night in Anderson, California. And we have Dave Tichenel, Stonewall. On the line here.
Well, Dave, did you give us a final number of what you think you might have drawn in?
Well, you know, nothing's been added up yet. I talked to the merchandise people,
okay,
and got kind of an idea. I mean, we just got an order from Terry when we were up there in Placerville, and it's all gone. Every hat, almost every shirt. So
that's too bad.
Your hats are always gone.
We're really sorry. That's way too bad.
The numbers that I gave you, I think they're all pretty conservative. You know, we pretty much know how many dinner tickets we sold, but you know, we had couples tickets for $40, the singles for $25. So exactly what that number is going to be, I'm not sure, but it's going to remain somewhere near 12,000. We did not control the libations last night.
Okay.
The Elks Club retains control on that. The year before, you know, doing it for the first time, we found out how difficult it is just to get a liquor license for a day and the insurance and everything else. So It wasn't, you know, something that we knew we were going to lose some revenue, but we also didn't have the staffing and the time and everything else to get a liquor license.
Yeah, we didn't. We weren't able to control the libations. In fact, I couldn't control the libations last night.
On his own intake.
But everybody said I had a good time. But anyway, yeah. Well, I think Wynn's got a conservative estimate, don't you, buddy?
Yeah, conservatively, we're looking around $40,000. That's what we earned last night.
Okay, well, I got to tell you that Aaron says you guys lose then because you guys have three times the population.
You have three counties. You have three counties. So no,
you
can't play that card so
raise
long.
Three times the amount of money that we do.
General.
Okay, we're going to have to do counties? It again. We're going to have to do it again then,
yeah.
Aren't we?
Yeah, we are. Next month.
Yes, we are. That's Chris awesome, won't mind. Man. That's what an awesome number that we're, you know, just together we're able to fatten the bank account by that much just in one evening.
Amen.
So awesome.
Well, I got to say,
every other county's got
to
be.
Yeah, I have to say something about this gentleman that's on the line here, Stonewall. Earned the nickname because we call him the General of the South. Mm-hmm. I mean, he has gone down there, he and Aaron is just, if you haven't been around Aaron, then you've never laughed, because once you get around Aaron, you will definitely laugh.
Yes, sir.
And those two are an amazing team. They go all over the place. They go down there and do stuff selfless. Move. And that's one thing that's so great about this. So many people do things because they want to help liberty. They want to make sure we have liberty. They care about their kids and their grandkids and their neighbors and their friends. And they care about this country. And Stonewall, you're a patriot, buddy. We're going to have to let you go here. We got some things that we've got to do. But I'll tell you, brother, we love you. Thank you for all you guys do down there. Say hello to Mad Dog. Mad Dog, if you're listening, we miss you, brother. So
I just want to say a really quick thank you to all my volunteers last night.
Yes.
Oh, amen. Yeah.
Yeah, and Leah and all those great people down there, and you know, and Brett Murphy and Ann Hill, and you know, it goes on.
And we're excited to see all the photographs and the comments on Facebook and Twitter or whatever. So, you know, get everybody rolling those out so we can all see that throughout the entire territory of Jefferson and beyond.
All right, I'm going to hang up and I'm going to remain listening.
All right, brother.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, man.
Okay. Talk to you later.
All right. Yeah, yeah. We'll be waiting here for Mark Baird. And
yes.
Do you feel the hum?
Well,
I think he's got a call.
Last night, it was a great event. We have a very lively group. Our group is they're pumped up pretty well. Margie Ball was great about getting all the decorations going and coordinating that. Chris is doing everything with, you know, the auction and all the items and all the treasures that people came away with. Shay and Chris are going to be out hauling stuff around, you know,
today
they're delivering because we had some items that were a little large to be put in any vehicle. So they had it on a trailer and they're going to take a couple things out to the folks that won the bid last night and paid for it and took off. And we did a great job because, the little credit card machine we had going last night that's hooked to my cell phone was humming like crazy.
And on the line right now, we have Roberta. Hey, darling, how you doing?
Good morning, Roberta.
Oh, my goodness, that was so wonderful. We have a well-oiled crew, let me tell you. I was so impressed with everything from the setting up yesterday all the way through. But I'm so disappointed. Every time I put my name on a list for the silent auction, somebody else came by and upped me. And I thought I had won two things in the silent auction, finally. And doggone it, when I got up to pay for it, somebody else already had it. So there you go. What a giving group of people.
Oh, yeah, just
they were
wonderful.
Great.
Just
hey, Roberta, wonderful. Thank you for coming last night. That was fun. I'm glad you were able to be there and hang out and, you know, rub elbows with everybody. It was fun, wasn't it?
It really was wonderful. Let's do it again.
We
okay,
will.
We will.
You know, and the neat
okay.
thing, the neat thing too, hon, okay. is that, you know, people
and
like...
thank you so much for everything the two of you do.
Our pleasure.
Well, you know,
all right.
Roberta?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, hon. Thank you for all you do. I mean, you're consistent. You're there all the time, helping any way you can. And, you know, the neat thing is that this is really all of us. You know, there is no I in team, and the one thing great about the folks in Jefferson and the 23 counties,
yep.
you know what? They get that.
They get it. Yes, sir.
All right,
yes.
My dear. Have a great Sunday.
And we'll see you tomorrow night.
All righty. I'll be there.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We got Round Mountain Bob.
Good morning, Bob. How are you doing, buddy?
Hey, we're doing great. You?
Good.
Good. You? Are you?
Hey,
Hey, I want to thank you guys, all of you, Chris, you, Terry, Wynn, everybody. That was one heck of a program last night. It really was.
Did you have fun?
And
yeah, Jack
I
Daniels.
I had a ball.
Good.
I had a ball. I spent a little money, but I had a ball.
Now, did Linda have to crack the whip on you?
Oh, I don't know. I'm with this church. I got to sit outside to get well to get in. Anyway, what I wanted to say was, Miss Brenda of Doug Lamalfa's office and I had a little talk last night, and she asked what I or we could do to help Mr. Lamalfa, and I said, well, this is kind of the way it goes. When Mr. Lamalfa has backbone enough to get up and go see our president and tell him, our president, that he, Mr. Lamalfa, will back the state of Jefferson and help us get what we need in his area of California, then we will worry about helping Mr. Lamalfa.
Well, you know, that's kind of a little bit on the edge there, Bob. He's got to go.
Hold on.
He's got to take it to Congress first. He can't go just straight to the president. And and so we got to make sure that we do it the right way, the proper way, and that we don't step on toes on the way in because we don't want to offend anybody. So we want to make sure that we do it the proper through the proper channel. So yes, Mr. Lamalfa could take it to Congress and see where it goes from there, and then be on to the president. So yes, that could actually happen. So we're hopeful that would be the case, and you know maybe that's what's going to happen. Maybe we're in that process.
We have Travis Allen coming in tomorrow, and and that should be very, very good. I'm looking forward to it. I've heard him speak on Fox News several times, and he's quite good. One of the things about Mr. Allen, though, is when we ask those questions, we want our questions to be direct and pithy, and we want to make sure that we get answers to the questions. You know, we all don't like higher taxes. We all don't like the gas tax. We all don't like being a sanctuary state. But as governor, how are you, sir, going to fix it? And I think that's some of the things that maybe we could ask our congressman, too. But with that, brother, we got to go. We got Mark on the other line, Round Mountain. See you tomorrow.
Hey, I want to say one quick thing. I want to thank, though, Miss Brenda, because she really helps things an awful lot, I feel. And I want to say thank you to her on here.
All right.
So
sounds
you guys
good.
Have a good one.
We appreciate it. You're right. She's a sweet lady. She does a lot of good work. So, yes, you're absolutely right. Thank you, Bob.
Kimasabi.
Mark, are you here?
You're there.
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
We can.
We can hear you now.
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you now. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, doing pretty good. How are you guys doing this morning?
Good. Did you have fun sitting at the old Raposa table last night?
Yeah, I mean, I was absolutely amazed, and you know, just I just couldn't be more grateful. It was incredible. I don't think I've ever seen that many people in a room having a good time, and at the same time getting something done. And I just I'm constantly amazed at the people that just show up and stand up and do something, and actually, you know, the incredible group of volunteers and Patrick Jones from Jones Fort, and I hope everybody supports him because he certainly supports us. And Chris did a fantastic job, and the auctioneer was a hoot and just a real character. And everybody involved. I mean, the list is so long of people that you should thank for that. It's incredible. And then down in Tuolumne County, they're doing the same thing, and all over Jefferson, we're doing the same thing. And tonight we'll talk to the attorneys again and see what our next move is, and talk about whether we are going to follow through on the protest or whether they want us to delay at the courthouse. And so there's so much going on, it's almost hard to keep track of it.
Yes, there is. And we got a lot of balls in the air that we're juggling. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I think that, and I think you're spot on, you know, about the guys that did it. Chris Kellstrom, I mean, what can you say about Chris? What a great job he did. And Patrick Jones, yeah, I know for me, and I'll just say it right up front, all my all my needs for any gun needs, anything. I go right to Patrick. I didn't go anywhere else. I go see Patrick. He takes good care of my wife and I. You know, his business is very, very good. The man has worked in the community, like I said, you know, many, many times, that Patrick would make one heck of a senator and assembly when he Kemosabe, don't you think?
I agree.
Yeah.
And also, too,
in his shop, he's got knowledgeable people in there. Boy, they know their guns. They're experts in them. He's an expert gunsmith. I don't know. It just put all the businesses there that represented themselves. I mean, you know, gosh, folks, let's support the people that support us. And you know where to go and put your money. Those great businesses that showed up last night, and they certainly put their money where their mouth was, and we all had fun doing it. It was absolutely fantastic. I was bowled over. I've never seen anything like that before.
Did you get a chance to hear Dave Tichenel talk about Tuolumne, Amador, and Calaveras?
Yeah, and once again, I'm absolutely amazed that so many people all over Jefferson are waking up, showing up, standing up, doing something. It's not lip service. They're doing things. We're pushing this court case forward, and we have a chance to yank the rug out from under status quo politics in California. And when you look down below and you see people like Gavin Newsom and that liar Kamala Harris standing on the stage together, patting each other on the back about how just giddy they are that they can open the borders and California will be a borderless state where anybody and everybody can get on the public kit and get all your money and get stuff and get handed free things, and how we're going to fight the United States of America and we're going to show the United States of America what a true socialist republic looks like, and we'll fight this president and we'll fight the Constitution and we'll fight everything so that we can build a true utopian leftist paradise with no guns and no borders and no rights and no freedom and no liberty. And it just kind of makes you want to vomit.
Yeah, it does. I mean, that's well put.
You have Kevin Leon. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. He changed his name to De Leon so it would sound more Hispanic. And he just got the SEIU, the largest crooked union in the United States of America, to throw tons of money his way so that he can be governor of the failed socialist state of California. And then you got Tony Villar, oh, I'm sorry, he changed his name to Villa La Grossa, so he'd sound more Hispanic, and he's running too, and boy, and do you notice one thing in this equation? There isn't anyone north of just about Fresno that has a shot at any statewide office, because the employee unions own you, and they own your state. And they want to own your property, and they want to own your rights, and they want to own everything you have. But don't worry. The scraps they flick off the table will be yours unless they want them back. And that's the state we live in. And we have a chance, a real chance, to yank the rug out from under all of that and rebuild this state of Jefferson in the image of the founders of this nation. And for the children of this state to have liberty, hopefully forever, if we do it right.
Amen.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, that's well said, my friend. You know, the thing is that you sort of hit the nail on the head there. I mean, everything that California is doing with our assembly and with our Senate is seditious. I mean, really and truly, with the Attorney General, Becerra, actually saying that he's going to arrest businesses that comply with ICE, that actually comply with federal law, comply with the Constitution. He's going to have them arrested if they comply. And, you know, it's just insane stuff like that. And really, you know, I'll go back to what Round Mountain Bob said. You know, if anybody's listening out there for the congressman, for our congressman, apparently Tom McClintock has already voiced his opinion, and it's not only favorable toward us, but I think it's also favorable to what I'm about to say. You know, Congressman, if you're out there, you know, where's that at? I mean, California, it's sedition what our guys are doing. You know, and we have an oligarchy. We have just a one-party system. They all like it the way it is, or we—I guess we just keep on swinging. That's one comment one of them makes all the time. What does that mean?
And how long can that last?
And how long can that last? And so, you know, at what point, Congressman? We just like you to stand up for that. You know, can you talk to the president about that? Can you talk to the president about the sedition that the governor's done? And Mark, you may want to reiterate on that because I mean, how many things has the governor violated?
Well, I mean, he wakes up in the morning violating the Constitution. he violates his oath of office, which in the California Constitution, even though you swear, but now you don't swear an oath in California. You either swear or you just affirm it. You know, you can affirm things. That's almost as good as a promise, because then if you end up to be a liar, well, you didn't really swear. You just kind of affirmed it. But that's in Article 20 under miscellaneous, you know, your oath of office. That's how important it is to state-level office holders in the state of California. And, you know, he violates his oath of office, which is to support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of California, which he violates all the time. I doubt the guy's ever read it, because Article 3, Section 1 in the California Constitution says the Constitution of the United States is the highest law in the land. And we do have inalienable rights, and the court recently said that the Ninth Circuit Court recently said, well, you know, the Second Amendment's not really a core right. Well, that's kind of funny, because John Locke said it is an absolute right, and the right to defend yourself, your home, your community, and your state is an absolute right. It is above government's policymaking powers. So, you know, you have people now, here's the latest thing, well, you know, you can't use an AR-15 for hunting. We should just ban those. And we're going back to this, what do you need a semi-automatic rifle for? Well, the Second Amendment was never about hunting. In the days the Second Amendment was written, everybody hunted. Nobody questioned your ability to carry a weapon. But the Ninth Circuit Court says, well, you know, you have the right, and this was actually in oral arguments the day before yesterday in the only open carry case in California. And by the way, the NRA doesn't support open carry, and they have written briefs against this case. But the judge says, well, you know, you have the right to defend yourself with a gun should you need to. And then the appellant rightly says, well, Your Honor, where's this magic gun going to come from? Because I'm not allowed to carry it outside my home. And she couldn't answer that, of course, but that's the crazy state. That's the upside-down universe that we live in the state of California. I mean, we have a circuit court that's the most overturned circuit in the United States of America, clearly a socialist bent to that court, clearly all extremely progressive liberals. We have an extremely socialist bent to our state government. We have unions in charge of our state government, the SEIU, CalPERS, CalSTRS, California Nurses Association, all extremely leftist organizations that take money from their members and contribute to political causes, whether the membership wants them to or not. That may change with the Nunes case or Janus case in front of the Supreme Court right now, but so far it hasn't. We're it, folks. We're alone in the room. We have no governmental support. We have no politician with the backbone to actually do something in a legislative house like Congress or the state house. That's it. We are the people. And if we don't do this, nobody will.
I think you hit the nail on the head there, especially in the state office. You know, we've got people that are Republicans like Jim Nielsen and like James Gallagher. And I haven't heard a peep anywhere in any news about either one of them saying something like, well, oh my gosh, Mr. Becerra, you are breaking the law. Do you understand you're breaking the law? And what about allowing Brown to go make a treaty with or in an agreement with a foreign country? I mean, that violates the United States Constitution. And what about the fact that now we're going to have illegal aliens able to get a driver's license and vote in our state? I mean, honest and truly, I don't even know how these guys live with themselves. I never hear a word about it. It's sort of like, well, I know I've got the answer here. We're going to regionalize California.
The other
aspect of it is the state government is clearly in violation of United States Code for harboring and knowingly both conspiring to and for harboring and shielding illegal aliens. That's a violation of federal law. I believe it's felony. And our governor is a felon, and our attorney general is now a felon, and the president pro tem of the Senate is a felon, because he openly admitted in a public hearing that half of his family were here illegally, and half of them stole their Social Security numbers off of law-abiding citizens. They're guilty of identity theft. So half of his family are not only illegally in the United States, but they committed crimes in order to remain in the United States. And he admitted that, and he knows about it. In other words, he's aiding and abetting a criminal in the commission of his crime. And he's also a felon because he's shielding and harboring illegal aliens. But who does anything? Who does anything even on the Washington level? I don't hear any Republicans or Democrats making any moves to arrest these people or even censure them for their felonies.
Yeah, it's sad.
If you did the same thing,
yes,
you would go to jail.
Well put.
So do we have a government of, by, and for the people?
Nope.
Or do we have a government of laws that don't apply to them but do apply to the lesser of the social order, which is the citizen?
Yep.
Because now being a citizen of this state is the lowest job you can have, and being anything but a citizen is the highest job you can have. Ooh, how did that happen?
Back ass words. Now, what Terry was talking about earlier, you know, all the stuff between Becerra and with our senators and our assembly members, they're all concerned about their palms being greased, and they're concerned about their pockets being full. They've got it sweet right now. Nobody's going to bump them out of their position. Whether they do anything right and honest for the citizens or not doesn't matter. That's not part of their in their wheelhouse. Their wheelhouse is all about the money. And they should be wearing NASCAR uniforms so we could see the patches of all their donors. And that's exactly what they should be doing. We should be able to know who their donors are on a daily basis, and that should be spread like wildfire, because dollars to donuts, those things would be very telling on where they get all their money. Because how do they become multimillionaires on those salaries?
Interestingly enough, they also use term limits to their advantage, because any monies that remain in their campaign accounts after they're termed out, they get to keep. So,
yeah.
You know, you take a look at Ted Hu, the supposed Republican senator from Senate District 1, which covers 11 counties.
Yep.
And would take him all day just to drive through his counties, even if he never even stopped to talk to anybody. So lack of representation, of course we have that. But even Ted Hu, how much money did he spend on his last re-election bid? Zero.
Very little, yeah.
Because all of the money people down in the densely populated areas, they see an R, they just check it.
Mm-hmm.
And he spent zero, so he's got darn near $1 million, and when he gets termed out here in a little bit, well, he just keeps the money. Who says crime doesn't pay?
Right.
The only people crime doesn't pay are citizens of this state, because they do the paying.
Yes,
and we pay and we pay and we pay.
Yep.
Well,
I just want to ask people a few questions. Are you okay with paying a dollar a gallon more for gas than anyone else in the nation? And if you're not, why aren't you doing something about it? Are you okay with having your Second Amendment rights stripped from you just by virtue of the fact that you have to register to buy a bullet for the gun that you legally own? Are you okay with your young teenage daughter being able to abort her unborn baby without your knowledge and without your permission? Are you okay with learning about the gay lifestyle, your children learning about the gay lifestyle in elementary school? And are you okay with unfettered, unknowable, unregulated, no one even knows how many because no one's checking, illegal immigration? And once illegals come to this country, they can get a driver's license, they can become lawyers, they get in-state tuition.
Mm-hmm.
They get in-state tuition here. And the liar Janet Napolitano has a $15 million slush fund in the California university system. She gets caught at it and doesn't even get fired. We have a board in the state legislature that's supposed to review judicial performance to find out who the liars and cheats among the judges are. And they've never been audited since that office has been set up. No one even knows what they do. Oh, and by the way, a judge has never been impeached in California. Maybe one back in the 1850s, but I can't remember if that guy was actually taken out of his chair. So no judge has ever been accountable for being corrupt. And we have a judicial accountability board that's never even been held accountable because they've never been audited. And that's because two branches of the state government have been growing like weeds since 1849, but the people's branch of government has not added one single representative in 150 years, and that's the branch of government that's supposed to be the watchdog over the other two. Huh.
So we're supposed, they're supposed to legislate, and how does that work? And when they have 120 members and we have 40 million people in the state, how in the world is that supposed to work?
Well, and the oversight,
are they supposed to oversee the judicial 120 guys when we have 2,000 judges?
Yes,
yeah, 2,000
right.
judges, right.
That's
right.
Exactly right, and that's the point. I mean, we just if anything's going to grow, it should be the people's house, and that's the representative portion of government. The other thing is, too, is that in getting back to some of our folks, like, you know, that are supposed to be Republicans, supposed to support us, and are supposed to be able to do the will here rather than just pandering for votes. I know that Travis Allen has been the only one I've heard of that's gone. He went on Fox News, and he basically said, hey, you know, they're breaking the law here in California. We need the attorney general to go after Becerra. I mean, he's come out and said that. Where's Nielsen? Where are these guys backing him? It's sort of like, well, maybe we don't want to disturb the
apple cart.
Yeah, and you know, but I'll tell you what. Here's the deal. They won't go after him, but I'll tell you what. If you probably said one crossword, I'll tell you that some of these politicians will come after us.
Amen.
Some of these, quote, quote, great Republicans swinging hard will try to come after us, either personally or some other way, rather than trying to represent us. I mean, to me, that's being a coward. To me, not calling the rest of what California is doing as far as the governor, as far as the attorney general.
It's time for them to man up.
Yeah, I mean, but I'll tell you what, conversations like we're having now, if we were having that, I know that we're certainly, we're probably on their radar more so than people who are breaking the law just because we're speaking up. Where we elected them to speak up for us.
Mm-hmm.
We elected them to not only support us, but to do the will of the people. We elected them as our employees, yet they'll just keep on swinging. I'll tell you, it just really makes me. And the other thing is, too, we have good people that work for them. We have good people. Good people on staffs, good people on Daley staff, and good people on LaMalfa staff, and good people on Nielsen staff, and on Gallagher staff. The problem is, all those people work on a blind loyalty.
Yep.
It's a blind loyalty. And to me, I mean, you know, as you said, Mark, it's up to us. And this Jefferson thing is proving it. Our new state is going to prove this. And we will get this done, my good friend.
Well, I think that we should support the people that support us. And I think that that quid pro quo is certainly easy enough. You know, I've asked all of them. I said, look, how would you like to be a hero to 1.4 million people? How would you like to stand up and, you know, gosh, you'd have our loyalty and our support as long as you were a public official, and all you have to do is stand up and show some guts. And that invitation is open. I don't think these guys are bad men. I think they've just been browbeaten for so long that they forgot what it's like to stand up for what they actually believe in, regardless of what the political cost might be. The political cost, unfortunately, in this nation has been brought to the forefront so that no one will speak their mind because they're always afraid of what their own party will do to them, what the other party will do to them, or what the money will do to them.
Henceforth a coward.
Our goal is to suck the money out of this so
henceforth
that you're beholden to the people who put you in that chair and no one else. And that's the way this country started, and that's the way it should be now. And that is our goal and nothing less, to make our representation accountable to the people who elected them in the 51st state where we have liberty that's guaranteed constitutionally and no load of politicians can take the rights that God gave the people away from them.
Silence is consent, and silence is allowing the other side to do what they want. Everything you just expressed, I mean, okay, I certainly think that all those men are good men. I agree with you. I'm sure they're good fathers. I'm sure they're good neighbors. But the real deal is that they're too afraid to give up their power. They're too afraid to speak out. I mean, to have the dead silence on this sanctuary issue. They should be screaming from the rooftops. And instead of Travis Allen standing up and talking alone, why aren't they backing him? Why aren't they standing there saying, yeah, he's right. We stand here united as Republicans. We stand here united against what's going on in our state and united behind the people and united behind the constituents we have because we serve them. And
well, you
that's
know,
just not
very
happening.
One thing. I don't expect all of these guys to say that I'm right all the time. I don't even expect that.
Oh, yeah.
But by gosh, ask a question, have
yeah.
a conversation,
oh,
see what's going on. At least bother to find out whether it's something that warrants a little attention or support or something. You know, the silence out of our own representatives is absolutely deafening, and that's the part that worries me.
Well, it goes back to all the communications that everybody
yeah,
that have been communicating.
Thousands
and thousands of us have communicated to our representatives here in California. We have written letters. We have written emails. We have made phone calls. We have done cold calls on their offices. And not one of them has given us a good, solid, logical explanation as to what they think, why they stand where they stand, or don't want to deal with Jefferson. If we get any communications, any whatsoever, it's either you're not my constituent and I can't help you, which is BS, or you are a constituent, but they send you a form letter that just says, you know, everything's hunky-dory. No, that's not the case. And they don't even address the issues when our citizens, sovereign citizens of Jefferson Territory, when they have a specific question they want answered, they don't even get a answer to that question. And I know personally that I have made 120 phone calls multiple times. I called every single office in our Capitol building, and I have yet, and that happened, what, 2-3 years ago, I have yet to have a return call. And I know there are others that have done the same thing. So, and we have log records of all those calls, not just me, but everybody else out there. We have copies of the letters, we have copies of the emails, we have copies of the call logs. We have all that information to use in court when we go to court to prove, once again, that we have not had any communication from our elected officials who happen to be our employees. So by our employees failing to respond to the employers, we the taxpayers, they should have their happy asses fired.
And you know what else? You take someone like Beverly Vanghart, God bless her.
Yes.
What did Beverly do? 6,200 calls?
Yes.
3 responses?
Yes.
3.
And they're the form letters I just
spoke
about.
They're the form letters.
Yeah.
That's just disgusting. And that's with the people who have an R behind their name,
mm-hmm.
a lot of them,
yep.
who are supposed to be supporting us. Yet, you know, when it comes to campaign season, they're all over the place.
But the other thing, too,
you know,
staff...
it's funny because I would make my calls, and my phone would be chiming as I made the call, or I'm sorry, I would write emails is what I meant to say. And I'd write these emails, and my phone would be chiming as I was hitting send with the automatic reply due to the high volume of emails. We can't answer everyone's email. In fact, we don't answer anyone's email. That's the hidden meaning in that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't really represent you, so contact your own dude. Or due to the high volume of emails and calls, we can't respond to every constituent. In fact, the parentheses basically is we don't respond to any of them. And then we have the one testimony, at least one, where that gentleman went into his assemblyman's office and was told, we don't have face-to-face meetings with constituents. We don't have time for constituents. You know, I mean, these things are well-proven, well-documented, but our problem is, since we're only the people who created this government, we need to find a way to make that stick.
That's right.
And that's what we were asking people last night, to help us make that stick. And boy, did they. And they did in Tuolumne County, and they're doing it in Glenn County and Colusa and Placer County and El Dorado County and in Siskiyou County and Shasta County and Trinity. People are waking up. And what we need to do is provide a path that has actionable items and achievable steps and will be accountable for achieving those goals until we find liberty, because this is not a do-nothing deal where everybody talks for a while and we all go home. We mean it. We're not going away. We're going to make this stick, and the time has come for 51.
It has, and
amen.
we're going to have to go out to a hard break here in about 1 minute. Mark, thank you for all you do.
Everything.
Yep. And I'll tell you, Kemosabe, last night was great. Is Dr. Danuka a neat guy or what? You know, I mean,
yeah,
isn't he great?
You know, he is a great guy, and he's a true patriot.
Oh, he's awesome.
And please patronize his business as well. But I want to thank the volunteers and especially the people that showed up, and what a load of patriots. It was a privilege to be there. And I felt very insignificant because of all the people in that room, probably 99% of them did more than I did to make that happen, and it was just really incredible.
All right, my good friend. We'll give our best to Cindy, the First Lady, and we will be talking to you soon, my good friend, because we've got to head off here. And
thank you, Mark. We truly appreciate it.
And remember, time has come
for 51.
HCA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill that we have to pay? It's not our bill.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding, by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
Supporters of President Trump say the indictment of multiple Russians for attempting to tamper with U.S. elections puts the blame squarely where it belongs.
These are Russians that were working to be able to interfere in our election, but no American was aware of that. In fact, they made it very clear that these Russians pretended to be Americans, even in their online persona, as they interacted with Americans. Americans were not colluding or cooperating with them. But it wasn't designed.